this injury. The man who was and still is perhaps the greatest single tribute to the power of the gospel of Christ, namely St. Paul. If somehow in this generation of dire need, a generation that is attempting to solve many of its problems with the aid of both tranquilizers and petrol, if somehow we, you and I, the dedicated followers of the Redeemer, could capture some of the drive and dedication, some of the loyalty and the love, especially the spirit of this man, there is no telling really what we could accomplish for the church and for the world. He understood, he knew the secret of life, the secret of the abundant life of which our Master spoke. And I propose that he shares that secret. And he's sharing that secret with the church of today when he wrote to his favorite congregation in Philippi, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's some sound, positive advice for everyone, especially for future pastors. It has something concrete to say about the past and about the future. Which, the past or the future, is man's greatest enemy is debatable. I suppose it depends a great deal on how we treat them. We know, of course, that we cannot change yesterday. Whatever it was real. Real joy, real disappointment, real victory, real defeat, real righteousness, and real sin. We often say that yesterday is gone forever. But in a certain sense, it is never really gone. Because yesterday, to a large degree, made us what we are today. And if the past is truly our mother and we are her children, then our yesterdays will rise up and they will either chide us or cheer us in the future. They will either bless us or condemn us. And here is what Paul says to us about the past. He simply says, forget. But did he win? Did he forget his past? Did he forget the excellent training he had had at the University of Jerusalem, his unusual conversion, his successful missionary journeys, his glorious ministry? Hardly. In fact, in his own letters, he used the word remember more frequently than he used the word forget. So what did Paul mean when he said, forget your past? No, what he meant. He meant forget your past sin. He had been a ringleader in the circus of sin. He had blasphemed the name of Christ. He had persecuted the church. He once announced that he was God's number one enemy. Maybe he was. Perhaps he really was. But Paul knew how to handle his past. And had he not learned how to deal with his past, the Church of Jesus Christ, which you and I know, would light of it, you not only accept and understand the precious gospel of forgiveness that you are going to preach, but first of all, if you accept that message in your own heart, as Paul did. If Paul had this burning desire to share this powerful gospel with others, it was because, first of all, he had tasted and experienced the beauty and the power of the gospel of God in Christ for himself. Paul knew how to preach the law for himself. The statements of self-condemnation in his letters are too clear to misunderstand. But that sinner also knew how to preach the gospel to himself. He knew what it could do because he knew what it had done for him and to him. That's why he was able to say and mean every syllable, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." That's why he could say, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." We belong to what we call, for lack of a better phrase perhaps, the church organized, or the organized church. And a part of that organization is saying to the church this weekend that these men are equipped and ready to enter the ministry. And the church, the organized church, in spite of all of its critics, is a beautiful church. It has its beauty and it has its power. And it has its glory. But at the same time, we all know that it also has its share of weaknesses. And now, for a few observations. To me, it seems that the 20th century church has more than its share of professional workers, for example, who seem to have a desire to become most excited and most interested. Practically anything and everything under the sun, but so often do not demonstrate that burning desire, that fear compulsion to take this precious gospel from experience and share it with people, the one power, the one available power that can really bring people to Christ. Whatever else you may have learned at Concordia Seminary for your chosen profession, the office of the Holy Ministry, I pray that you have tasted the beauty and the power of the gospel you are going to preach to others, because then you are truly ready and truly equipped to serve him in his kingdom. I suppose each generation of clergymen has its own special problems and its own special challenges. Past generation, as I would call it, had some rather peculiar problems. They had to sweat out that old German English controversy. They had to make this thing called the Sunday School palatable to the membership. They also had to develop stewardship, Christian principles in our circles, and the like. The situation when I graduated from the seminary was altogether different. You will pardon a personal observation and an opinion, I would say that I may now be using the wrong word to describe the state of the church 25 years ago. But it seems to me that at that period in the history of our church, we had reached an era of stagnation. The Great Depression had left its impact not only on the church treasury, but on the church total. We were compelled to retrench. There were hundreds of candidates, ministerial candidates like yourselves, standing idle in the marketplace. There were, in my opinion, very few areas that you would call dynamic in our Lutheran church at that time. It wasn't healthy. It almost seemed that we were content to sing, "I am content." And it also seems to me that we have stagnated in the area of theology. Many things changed that World War II, among many, shocked us back into the world of reality. Now, what is the situation as I look at it today? If I were to analyze it today, I would not use the word stagnation. I would use the word revolution. We live in an age of revolution. Revolution in or not, we are going to take on a new look. Tomorrow, the organized church is going to send forth another generation of clergymen. While they have not yet invested a single hour on the other side of their diploma, these men with us this evening will be, as we enter the 21st century, our gray-haired leaders, and they will play an important role in designing and shaping the image of Lutheranism and the community of tomorrow. We often say that the church is in the hands of God. This is true in one sense, but the future of Lutheranism, as we know it, is also in their hands. And this I am confident of, that these men are professionally and academically qualified. And I am frank enough to admit that they had so many more tools than we had when they handed these diplomas to us 25 years ago. They know the know, and they know the how, and they have the what. And our prayer is that with this equipment, they will now follow the right leader and accept the right counsel and the right advice. Let me say that they will not be short on advice. This is also an age of advice givers and opinion putters. They will get advice and opinion from every corner and from every direction. The same as this dying world, they will hear, well, education will say, educate your way out. Industry, work your way out. In finance, spend your way out. Even borrow your way out. Philosophy will say, think your way out. The military is saying, fight your way out. Well, communism is saying, subvert your way out. But this isn't what God said. And this isn't what Jesus Christ preached. And this isn't what Paul said. This isn't what Paul advises. Paul says,
volunteers candidates for the Holy Ministry. The faculty certifies that they have received the instruction and have been introduced to the attitudes and skills necessary for properly carrying out the functions of the Holy Ministry. With the placement committee of the faculty and the Council of District Presidents, men of this year's graduating class and the preceding classes have been assigned to falls in parishes, missions, and educational institutions of the church.
With the entire church, we rejoice in their entrance upon the Holy Ministry. The diploma attesting to their fitness for this ministry also attests to their professional obedience to the sacred scriptures and their subscription to the Lutheran Confession. May I now ask you to make this affirmation, which will be repeated at your ordination into the Holy Ministry. Do you solemnly affirm that you acknowledge the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments to be the Word of God, and to be the sole source and norm of doctrine, as set forth in the confessional writings of the Lutheran Church? As these candidates for the sacred ministry come forward, I authorize you to deliver to them their diplomas of fitness and the instruments attesting to their calling. If you would be willing to help them, then you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Be sure to let the word of God your guide. Search the scriptures for your instruction. Depend on the grace of God in gospel and sacraments. Make full use of the privilege of prayer, especially in interceding for those for whom you committed to your care. Be careful to live as disciples of Christ, and thus to be examples that will prompt others to walk in the fear of God. May the Lord direct and assist you by His Holy Spirit. May He counsel and strengthen you in all your undertakings, and encourage you to labor diligently for the prosperity of His church and to fulfill your respective duties faithfully. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Will the graduates who are continuing their studies be honored? In our good wishes and prayers, we include all the members of this great graduating class who are going on for special studies and deferring their candidacies at this time. They are doing this in order to amplify their training in special ways. Also to them, the wishes and hopes of the church for special blessings apply. May our Heavenly Father grant to you all the rich gift of His Spirit, so that in the name of Jesus you may advance.